Yesterday we left off something very interesting. I want to continue about what we spoke about yesterday about Amir Peset. Person has a porch that leads out of a balcony, whatever you want to call this, where you have your main home, and then you open up the doors and you go to outdoors. Pretty much, you go outdoors into an open area. Balcony, and there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go but to jump over the fence and fall down into some big open area. Where does one put the mezuzah? Does one put the mezuzah on the right side of him going out? Or do you put the mezuzah on the left side, which would be the right side going in? So this is the machlokes ha'chasidim. Some say you should put it, it's a mokum, but you mishtamish, you use this area. It's a chotzer, you use this area, you go outside on the terrace to get some fresh air, you store things there, you store outdoor furniture, whatever you need, you use it as an area. It should be no different than any other room in your house, even though this room does not have a ceiling. Even though this room is really considered to be relative to your home outdoors, outside, so what? It's not a place, it's not a location in which you used to enter your home. It's considered to be outside, and therefore, it's a room, and you put it on the right side of the entrance for going into that area. Other opinions disagree. I think the Chazanish disagrees. And he says that this type of reshus relative to your home is insignificant. Your home has a roof, it's a place of living. This outdoor terrace, it's not a mokom dira. It's not a place where you live. It's outdoors, and thus, when you're in this location, the proper place is to put a mezuzah. The mezuzah provides shmirah, and the shmirah is for what's inside. You don't put a mezuzah to protect the outside. You don't put a mezuzah to protect the outside world. You put a mezuzah to protect what's inside. When you're on the terrace, when you're out there, your goal is eventually to return to a place of shelter. When it's raining, you're coming back inside. When it's snowing, you come back inside. When it's hot, when it's cold, this is the outdoors. This is the jungle. Okay, it happens to be attached to your house, and you may enjoy going there every so often to recline, to enjoy yourself. But it's not relative. It's not even relative to the ikur dira of your bayis. It's considered to be outside, and thus the rule is when you have a door and the door leads in to your bayis, your bayis is your bayis. This terrace is not the bayis. It's an outdoor facility which leads into the bayis. We should put it on the inside of the left side, which would be the right side from the perspective of sitting on the terrace going indoors. So this is a very big machlokes. Okay, there are other svaros. This is something which is one of the most popular questions of the right and the left when you're dealing with mezuzah, a terrace that does not have any way, which is just independent. There's no steps going from the terrace, from the balcony to the street. It's completely sealed off, like you see in all of these buildings. We have a sukkah. That's the dilemma. So we discussed yesterday an interesting shiloh. What about putting up two mezuzos? Two mezuzos, why not? And indeed, I have a whole sefer on this, about this shiloh, putting up two mezuzos. Man of shach. I'll put a mezuzah on the left and the right. So if the halacha is that really it's considered to be part of my bayis, so now it's the mezuzah on the right is correct. If the halacha is that the bayis is the yikur and this terrace is considered to be the outside, then the left is the primary location and the mezuzah will be on the right side going into. What is so terrible about putting up two mezuzahs? And I'll bring you a raya, there's nothing wrong. Look at tefillin. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you see the halacha, that we have two tefillin of Rashi, tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. And we don't do this today, but in the time of the Gemara, but the time, I'm exactly wrong, but the time of Shulchan Aruch, There are numerous complex simonim and Shulchan Aruch of how to wear both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin at the same time. To wear them at the same time. You put on Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. And the Gemara, and you make one bracha, you put them both on. Chazal say, Mokon yesh barosh lehoniach shtei tefillin. There's enough space on your head to fit two pairs of tefillin. Some say this means two pairs of tefillin along the horizontal, along the width. And some say there's enough space for two pairs of tefillin from the front going to the back of the head. Some say both. You have enough space on the width, and it's enough space from the front going to the back. So you can fit two pairs of tefillin on your head, and likewise on your arm, supposedly. So you put on both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. And what's the problem? The problem is, first of all, it's not so similar as Vana said that we have really enough space to put on two pairs of tefillin. The assumption is that the tefillin we wear today is double the size of the tefillin that they wore in the time of Chazal. And if that's going to be true, it turns out they have no more space left. Once you put on two pairs of tefillin, one pair of tefillin, you already occupy the entire space allocated on your head for the tefillin, so you would not have enough space. But not everyone agrees to that. So some people, you can definitely see this at the Kaisel Hamarabi. If you go to the Kaisel Hamarabi for Shabbos, you're guaranteed to see someone wearing two pairs of tefillin on their head at the same time. What would be the problem? What?
Smaller
too. I've seen...
There's smaller than that wear.
Right. Not even small. I've seen many people wear large, regular size tefillin, regular size, two pairs at the same time. On the arm also. Oh, but there's only enough space to wear one pair. Our tefillin are double the size. No? I don't know. Ask them. I asked them how they could explain how that works, how they're able to put on two pairs of regular tefillin in the same location. In the same location, how there's enough space for that. I don't know. They do it. Whatever they'll say. Whatever it is. Fine. Question. We have a more fundamental question. Why isn't that called Baal Tosef? The Torah says you shall wear one pair of tefillin. The Torah does not tell you to wear two pairs of tefillin. One pair, not two pairs. Why is this permitted? So the Shulchan Aruch basically acknowledges the question. That putting on more than one pair of tefillin would be Baal Tosef, especially. Well, I shouldn't say that. Let's take a step back. Let's say it like this way. Everyone knows Rav Chaim Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He wore 100 pairs of tzitzis. Everyone know that? Everyone
saw those pictures.
He only wore six. I remember him wearing literally like a football player, 100 pairs of tzitzis. Why? No one knew. I don't think he ever told anyone why he did that. No one understands what was that all about.
He was cold.
Okay, he was cold?
Did he put each one on individually, or did he put them all on at once?
No, he put some, he put on individually, and some he put all on at once. He put on maybe 50, and then bring me another 50. It's too heavy, take off 20. What? No. Did not make a bracha. I don't believe so. He made one bracha. I don't think he made a seven bracha each one. What was that all about? I have no idea. Don't try this at home, it's a strange thing to do. But every single person really does the same thing every single day, because everyone wears a talis kapan. And then when you go to shul, you put on the talis gadol. So you're wearing two pairs of tzitzis at the same time. So why isn't that called Baal Tosef?
Because that's on your baggage.
Because they're exactly the same. There's no difference. But the tzitzis that I'm wearing are exactly the same tzitzis.
Yeah.
I'm wearing that. There's no difference between the tzitzis on the talis gadol and the tzitzis on the talis gadol. They're following the same exact rules in Shulchan Aruch. I'm wearing one on this beged. I'm wearing one on a different beged. Each beged has its own tzitzis, and I'm wearing two begadim. Each one is chayv in its own right. And in addition to that, the laws of Shulchan Aruch of how I put the tzitzis on the beged are exactly the same. If a person were to put on two pairs of tefillin that are exactly the same, there's nothing wrong whatsoever. The Torah tells you to wear tefillin. Let's say I want to wear two pairs of tefillin. Is that really two pairs of Rashi tefillin? Is that really a problem?
What would be the purpose?
Why? You like it. You feel more holy. Why did our Pinchas Scheinberg wear 100? Why did he wear 100 pairs of tzitzis? I have no idea.
Yeah,
he did it.
What?
Who would? No one does. You know anyone in the whole world that does this? You even can tell me one person that does this?
Yeah. I can tell you a story. My brother-in-law, Yaakov Paper, he was a very, very close talented.
Okay.
Of
Pinchas Scheinberg?
Yeah, very, very close talented. And One time, this many, many years ago, in Eritrea, he had a raincoat. After they came, the bottom of it was with water. So he asked him, he told him to cut the corner. So he said, no, I don't want to cut the corner. So Rav Schoenberg told him, don't do it because it's going to look very strange.
Right.
And mm-hmm. he, I mean, he's the one that wear 100 pairs of scissors.
Every frack has a shear, the amount of garment, there's a slit with where really every frack, me'ikir hadin is chayiv in tzitzis. So they go out of their way to curve one of the corners so it should not be chayiv in tzitzis. So why now? What's so terrible if all the Rosh Yeshivas had tzitzis coming out of their fracks? Yeah. I don't know why not. What difference does it make? I don't know why not.
Because they would have to have the more machine with tzitzis.
So drag on the floor? They'll find, so they'll go, they'll tuck it in, they'll find this, they'll come with a special pouch with the frock to tuck it in.
A pouch, right.
So why can't they have a pouch to tuck it in? I don't know. I don't know why. There must be a reason why. Any event, there's nothing wrong if a person wants to put on two pairs of tefillin of Rashi at the same time. So I'm wearing two pairs of tefillin. Somehow you find a way to put on the two pairs of tefillin. One is in the chatzitz for the other. It's not whatever. You'll figure out a way to do it. Then it should not be a problem. Okay, that's not the problem. So what's the problem? The problem here is they're putting on Rashi in a bigger time. You're putting on two different pairs of tefillin. Because if the halach is like Rashi, the only difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is the order where the parshiyos of the tefillin are positioned in the tefillin. Rashi, the order is Kadesh, V'hoyoki, Yevi'acha, Shema, V'hoyo im Shemoya. Rabbeinu Tam switches. It's Kadesh, V'hoyoki, Yevi'acha. Before Shema, first comes V'hoyo im Shemoya. And then comes Shema. Shema is at the very end. Both the Shalyad and the Shalosh. Both the Shalyad and the Shalosh. The order is the only difference. That's it. The hair, where the hair comes out in the middle, right. The eagle, that's the other difference. But that's a minor difference. The only difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is the order of the parashos, where they are positioned in the tefillin. That's the only difference. Now, that's ma'ach. According to Rashi, if the tefillin, the parashas are put in the wrong location, the tefillin are posel. According to Rabbeinu Tam, if the parashas are arranged like Rashi, the tefillin are posel. It makes a difference. It's a significant difference. Because the halacha has to be this way and not that way. If you simultaneously wear Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin with your kavanah, you want to be yotzei the mitzvah, that is Baal Tosef, because the halacha cannot be like both. This is the simple way we understand the halacha. Others disagree with this approach, but we're going to follow the simple approach for today. There's only one halacha. There's no diversity in the ordering of the parashas. Halacha in many situations allows room for diversity. The menorah, does it have to be round or like the Chabad menorah, V? So all of the Gedolim will tell you it doesn't make a difference. They're both kosher. The Beis HaMikdash, it's kosher if there's a V menorah, and it's kosher if it's a round menorah. The Lechem Aponim, is the Lechem Aponim have to be round, or the bread's round, or the bread's square? It doesn't make a difference. They're both kosher. When they position the Shulchan and the menorah, do they position Mi Mizrach L'Mariv or Mi Daron L'Tzofen? It doesn't matter. There are many areas in Halacha where it really doesn't matter what the halacha, what it should be. There are different approaches, different opinions, and each are okay. Each opinion is not going to tell you the other opinion. You're not yoytze. Can't be. But when it comes to the order of the parashios, it does make a difference. This is something where you can't go and say, we have diversity in Klal Yisrael. Check off all the boxes. No, that's not the way it works. When it comes to the tefillin, the assumption is if you follow Rashi, and your tefillin, the parashos, are not put in the boxes correctly, they are posel. Posel as can possibly be, and it's a brocha levatola. According to Rabbeinu Tam, if this is the way it's supposed to be, and you arrange the parashos in the other order like Rashi, the tefillin are posel. You're not yoytzei the mitzvah. If you are putting on your head at the same exact time Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam Tzvon Vasachas, that, and you're having Kavana, I want to be Yoytze the mitzvah of Tefillin with both of them, that's called Baal Tosef.
But if you say one of them?
Oh, we'll get into that. Okay. But if you make a statement, I want to be Yoytze the mitzvah of Tefillin with both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, that is not like putting on two pairs of Rashi. If you want to put on more than one pair of Rashi, the Pashtus is, it's like putting on two pairs of tzitzis. It's not exactly the same, but there's a similarity. Because there's only one way to make tefillin. Each pair of tefillin is unique. I'm not coming, manipulating, putting five parshios in the tefillin. I'm not putting in six parshios. I'm not taking away a parsha. This is a pair of tefillin, and this is a pair of tefillin. This is the halacha, like Rashi. I put on two pairs. Good for you. You're wearing two pairs of tefillin. But if you're going to wear Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, and you're having intent, I want to be yoytze the mitzvah of tefillin with both of them. Wait a minute. You're making up a new Shulchan Aruch, a new Torah. The Torah says you wear tefillin. The tefillin has to be in one order. Either the order is going to be like Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam. The other opinion, it's possible. By putting on both of them on, you are creating a new mitzvah in the Torah that does not exist. According to Rashi, this is the only way you can be, and therefore the tefillin Rabbeinu Tam is possible. By you having kavanah to use these tefillin, which would be possible according to Rashi, and be yoytze the mitzvah, you have created for yourself a new mitzvah! A new mitzvah! To wear tefillin in this order. If you're going to follow Rabbeinu Tam, that means the tefillin of Rashi is possible. If you're going to have kavanah to be yoytze the mitzvah with this order, then you're Baal Tosef. There is no such thing in the Torah. You're coming out to create for yourself a new mitzvah. So by having both of them together, you and having kavana to be yoytze with both of them simultaneously, you are in violation of Baal Tosef according to all opinions. I mean, pretty much what we're saying now. So what is the solution? How come then there are so many complex simanim in Shulchan Aruch telling you exactly the procedure to wear two pairs of tefillin at the same exact time? So the Shulchan Aruch says you make a tenai. The Tanai is, I only want to be Yoytze with the one that is correct, that the halacha is really follows, and the other pair of tefillin should be nothing but a clump of leather. You're allowed to wear a leather hat. You're allowed to wear a leather jacket. You're allowed to go wear leather boots. So I have some leather on my head. I have a piece of leather. I have my tefillin. And I'm also wearing a nice cap, I'm wearing a yarmulke, I'm wearing a hat, I'm wearing whatever you want to wear. I'm wearing one pair of tefillin only, and I only want to have kavanah to be yoytze the mitzvah of the pair of tefillin which I have kavanah to be yoytze, and the other pair of tefillin should just be a clump of leather sitting on my head. You must have that kavanah, this tanai. And if you don't have this tanai, then you, and if your kavanah is I want to be yoytze with both of them, they're mutually exclusive. Cannot be both. If you have a kavanah to be yoytze with both, then you're being oivar and baal tosef because you're coming to create a new mitzvah in the Torah that does not exist.
Where you yoytze one?
What?
If you're
oivar
baal tosef,
are you yoytze
and
nachas tefillin? If you're oivar baal tosef, are you still yes. In this case, yes. Because one pair of tefillin is good and the other pair of tefillin is no good. If you would go and you take a pair of tefillin, you would add five parashiyos. Then no. If you go in, I would make a new and improved. You put an advertisement in the atet. New and improved tefillin. Five compartments. Five compartments. We're getting a fifth parasha. New and improved. Then you not only are Yoyve Baal Tosef, you're not even Yoytze the mitzvah. Because you've transformed the mitzvah. But here at least you have one pair of tefillin you have, right? The only problem is you have another pair that does not belong there. So you're only Yoyve Baal Tosef. Are you also over on the kind of the mitzvah, or are you the kind of the mitzvah? Because they're two separate pairs of tefillin. So the solution is to have kavana, not to have kavana, make a tenai. That's what you're supposed to do. Now, let's go back. Now, with that backdrop, let's now go to our Shiloh the Mirpeset. You have a Mirpeset. This is machlekes ha-poyesim that cannot be resolved. Should you put the mezuzah on the right or the left? Along comes some of the gedolim, and they say, I have a solution. Go spend $100. to calm yourself. Today it cost a mezuzah, cost, you know that? It cost today $100. The price of mezuzahs have skyrocketed very recently. When you can get a good mezuzah, a basic mezuzah, not so long ago for $60, now the cheapest mezuzah is basically $100.
Wow.
So that's what it is. Go check it out. I'm not exaggerating. You can get it. And think about how long does it take a sofer to write a mezuzah? It takes about 3 hours. I used to play around with this stuff. It takes about 3 hours for a sofer to write a mezuzah. A basic mezuzah. 3 hours. In addition, you have to pay for the klaf. It's very expensive. The parchment is very expensive. They charge you a lot of money. And there's always, you don't buy it directly from the sofer, you buy it from the middleman, from a wholesaler, someone, you know, the sofer they write, and they have their agents, so he gets a commission. And there are other issues. So it comes out the sofer is not getting more than $30 an hour. That's not so terrible. Not so terrible to go pay a sofer $30 an hour to write a mezuzah. But it's expensive. It's quite, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, a mezuzah, a good mezuzah. And that's just starters, the starters. You want to get something more mehudar, it'll cost even more money. Once you get to a certain price, then it's ridiculous. Then the difference between one level and the next, it's ridiculous.
Well, but they said it depends on what the cipher wants back to the store. He gets it. In other words, he'll say what he wants.
Right. So, okay.
I asked him specifically, what's the difference in this price and this price?
What the cipher can get.
He said, this is what we're working on a percentage, and this is what he wants back.
Right. I remember my father actually had a cipher tour. I remember it was many, many years ago. They paid the woman donated the cipher tour. She paid $23,000 for the cipher tour. That's what she paid. And then I asked the cipher not that long later, how much does it cost for that same cipher? He says now he gets $35,000. That was a long time ago. Now that would be probably like $70,000. 35. Says, how could it be in just a year? So he said to me, he didn't realize how good he is. It's not true. The Sefer Torah was a really, really gorgeous Sefer Torah. And he was underselling himself. He didn't realize how much he can get, how beautiful his ksav is. So he realized how much he can get. So he raised the price from $23,000 to $35,000. Today, that same Sefer Torah would easily go for at least $60,000, maybe even more, maybe even $70,000. The prices have gone up really astronomically. They've really gone up. It's very expensive. In any event,
because Corona, because the cipher were not making them for some reason, I don't know why, but there's just a bit of shortage of there's a lot of construction going on, and they can't keep up with the demand.
No, so I asked Rabbi Sholko, and he told me something that he said to me, that after Corona, so many people died. There's so many people who died. Many families are shuls. They're writing Sifrei Torah l'zecher nishmas, because Rachmana Litzlan, the number of people who died is beyond belief. And there are a lot of families that they have money. They want to do l'zecher nishmas. So all of the seifrim, they get a lot more money. That's where all the big money is. The big money is in Sifrei Torah, not in writing mezuzahs.
Right.
So they all jump ship. They all started writing Sifrei Torah because that's where the money is. So the people who write the mezuzahs, there aren't too many of them. So there's a shortage. So he claims. Listen, whatever, who knows? Look, you can't get a car now either. The price of a car now is, there are cars available. Even a used car. New cars also you can't get. New cars also. Why? That's because all the cars, their parts come from all over the world. And you're missing one little part, the car doesn't work. So this, because of coronas all over the world, there are hiccups.
A lot of factories were shut down for many months.
And they make even one little teeny part. Everything is interconnected. Okay, going back. So here's the dilemma. You have over here a mezuzah. You want to go put over here two mezuzahs. So the Poskim asked the question, Baal Tosef, how can you put up on the door two mezuzahs? It's Baal Tosef. So what are you going to do? You make a Tanai? Okay, you'll make a Tanai. But many Poskim are not concerned about the Tanai. They say, yeah, you don't have to make a Tanai. You put up two mezuzahs. What are you talking about? If you put on two pairs of tefillin, it says explicitly in Shulchan Aruch, you put on two pairs of tefillin and you don't make a tenai, you're oivim bal toisef. That's why when you put on a rashi in the middle of asachas, you have to make a tenai, so the shmini not be bal toisef. So why, when it comes to mezuzah, are poiskim offering a solution to put up two mezuzahs, but they're not so makbid to make a tenai? So the answer, very simple answer. When it comes to tefillin, if you have rashi in the one of them is vadai pasul. It's vadai pasul. If the halach is like Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam is pasul. If you're having kavanah to be yotze with Rabbeinu Tam also, that's bal toisef. If the halach is like Rabbeinu Tam, then Rashi is vadai pasul. Having kavanah to be yotze with Rashi as well is bal toisef. Mezuzah, there's nothing wrong with the mezuzah. The mezuzah is muhudar. You paid $100. It's muhudar. There's nothing wrong with the mezuzah. The problem is you put it in a on a post that doesn't need it. There are many people that hang up amaratz, they hang up mezuzahs in their car. They hang up mezuzahs, they do all strange things with a good luck charm. They put on a Freddy duel, so you have a nice mezuzah, you put it up on the wall, very nice, it's very good luck charm. Are you mekayim the mitzvah? No! So you're not mekayim the mitzvah, but you're not oivam bal toisef. You have a very nice mezuzah sitting in the drawer. It's sitting in the drawer. So the mezuzah is not possible. If you would put up if you put up two mezuzah in one door, is that talk about Taisif?
Yes.
Why is that about Taisif?
Because you want
it's like wearing two pairs of tefillin of asachas, two pairs of tzitzis. You wear every single day, you wear the talis kot and talis gadol. I do not know if you put up two mezuzahs on the same door, are you really, is it really...
Rationale. You have little kids and you want them to be able to, I mean, like you said...
That's a hashgafic issue.
Right, I understand, but saying that would be a reason that somebody might want
because
to do
once
it.
You
right,
put,
but it's...
Once you put one mezuzah, yeah.
It doesn't need. Okay,
so
it doesn't need. Could you make a second bracha? It's potter. Once the door has the mezuzah, you can't make another bracha. Is it called, here's a good question, if a person puts up two mezuzahs, just in case.
Yeah, one like spread it or one.
Just in case. Well, they have svardim, you have a svardim Ashkenazim. I want to satisfy my clientele. I have a yeshiva, we have svardim and Ashkenazim. So every door has two mezuzahs. We have an Ashkenazi, a Beis Yosef, better, three. Every single door will have three mezuzahs. Beis Yosef, Arizal, and Velish. We want to satisfy the customers who come to shul. We have svardim udavin in shul. We have Ashkenazim. We have nusach svard. So we'll put on every single door three mezuzahs. Everyone will admit that the other mezuzah is kosher. Is that called bal toisef? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't. It's not the right thing to do. Obviously, it's not the right thing. But can you technically say it's bal toisef? It doesn't sound like it. But when it comes to Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam Bevasachas, that's called Baal Toisif because they are mutually exclusive. If the halacha follows Rashi, then Rabbeinu Tam is still in his puzzle. And you're having Kavanah to be Yotzei the Nitzu with Rabbeinu Tam at the same time as Rashi, each one is knocking out the other one. That's horrible. That's Baal Toisif. But if you put a mezuzah on the right post, a mezuzah on the left post, each mezuzah is perfectly fine. They're not mutually exclusive. You do not know which one is chayiv in mezuzah. Is it the right or the left? Where do you put the mezuzah? You don't know what to do. So therefore, as a suffix, you put up two mezuzahs. So you don't need to make a tznai. You know what I mean? It's not bal toisef. Because each one in itself is good. Is good. It's just you don't know where you don't know the location. So whichever one is the correct location, Baruch Hashem, I have a mezuzah there. The one that does not need it, so it's no different than taking the mezuzah and putting it in your drawer. I put it in the drawer. There's no bal toisef, so there's something hanging on the door, so big deal.
When you blow shofar, don't you do more kinds of things?
Exactly. So there also so you're right, so you're saying it's bal toisef, so there also they're all good.
What have to be doing extra change just in case?
It's also good. There's no limit. So he's saying exactly the same principle. Blowing shofar is a great example you're giving. There's no different than wearing 10 pairs of tzitzis. Just like you can wear 10 pairs of tzitzis, not called bal toisef, each garment. More koilos, no problem. Shaking the lulav a little bit more, that's not a problem. You're right. But here you have an object. And the object, you have created an object. You've created a different version of the tefillin. And according to the first version, you're not yoytze. It's puzzle. And you're having kavana to be yoytze. At the same time, you're having kavana with the other one. It's bevasachas. See, in the case of shayf, you say something very interesting. When you're blowing, the simplest thing is all different types of teruos are good. Bidiyavit, if you only blew the short sound, tu 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 tu, it's good. If you only blew the longer sound, tu tu tu, it's good. If you blew a sound that has both of them together, tu 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 tu, it's also good. So even if you're going to tell me, you're going to argue that if you hold that it has to be tu 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 tu, and thus if you blow tu tu tu, it's no good, you're not doing it at the same moment in time. You're not doing it. It's like putting on first Rashi and then putting on Rabbeinu Tam. Here, by the tefillin I'm wearing it, the only problem is when you're wearing it at the same time. When you're wearing it at the same time, that's where you trigger the prohibition of Baal Tosef. Okay, Baal Tosef can only be when it's being knocked out. Now, but here is a question, an interesting idea. We have another issue. The other issue over here is when you put on two mezuzos on the door, there's a new problem, this is unique to mezuzah. The mezuzah has to go on the right side. How do you, it's a drasha. Uchasavtom al mezuzos beisecha. Chazal da'arshin beisecha loshin bia. On the location where you enter. Bi'oscha. The side of the door where you enter. You enter on the right side. Why is that so? I don't know this. You have to do a scientific study. A person puts his right foot first. That's when a person walks, you have to go take some videos. Put a video camera by a doorway and go study people. I'm sure people have done this. They study people. Which foot do they put first when you walk?
Righty probably.
So you'll be surprised that even lefties put their right, most of lefties, full-fledged lefties, real lefty power. When they get up out of their chair and they begin to walk, they put their right foot first. Most people have no idea what they do. They live a whole life. You put left first? Okay. True left. There are different types of lefties.
You're a lefty, aren't you?
I'm a lefty. So there's a big topic. What exactly, a Kohen who is a lefty is posul avoda. A lot of Kohanim don't like that halacha. They don't like it.
That's why I chose not to be a Kohen.
They don't like that halacha. And it has opened up. It has opened up. What?
Can they take Pidyon HaBen?
Yes, they can. The only thing is
Avodah.
And the source is this drushes, what exactly that means. And this is a big, big topic. Scientifically, there are three, if you go to Wikipedia, studying the sugi of lefties, we once spoke about this. There are three types of lefties. There are three types. There's a lefty that he uses his left hand. He has more power in his left hand, and that's why he eats with his left hand. He plays ball with his left hand, but his feet are like everyone else. When he walks, when righties walk, not every righty when they walk they put their right foot first. Some righties, they put their left foot first. Yeah?
In the army,
you put your left foot first?
Yeah.
Okay, see what I'm saying? There's a reason for that.
That's the song, left, right.
Okay, there's a reason for that. So there is major topic of discussion, how your left foot comes into, how your left foot, the relationship of your taking the left, and that's by mezuzah. Because the reason why you put the mezuzah on the right side, Chazal, they have to look at the big topic, uchasavtam al mezuzos beisecha, the mezuzah of beisecha, Chazal darshan, the word beisecha, al tikri beisecha, ela bi oscha. When you enter on the right. What in the world does that mean? Does that mean that you walk? Oh, he's locked out?
No,
he's the one, he's sitting on the mince. He locked himself out. Okay, after. Uchasavtam al mezuzos beisecha. Beisecha is bi oscha. You enter with your right foot. So Chazal say. That's very surprising because you say that in the army, when you walk, you walk with your left foot. And the entire makar, the drasha, as to why you put the mezuzah on the right side comes from the word bi'asha, which means you come in on the right side. What exactly does that mean, you come in on the right side? Does that mean that, you know, according to the Rambam, we learned that you have to stop and reflect. You want to touch it? You want to touch the mezuzah? This is a very touchy topic. Then there's a disease. I don't know what it's called. People really can't live. Dr. Friedman told this to me. You told this to me. Is where it's very, very rare. Where, you know, a regular healthy person, their heart is on the left side, and your kidney, your body, your anatomy, everything is very precisely arranged. Every organ, you know, a doctor knows exactly where they expect to find this part of the lung, this part of the kidney. And there are things, and that's true for lefties also. Just because you're a lefty doesn't mean that your heart is on the other side. A lefty's heart is on the left side, like everyone else. And this myth that this idea that a lefty uses the other side of his head has been proven to be total nonsense. Lefties use the same side of their head like righties. They say to us as children, lefties use a different part of the brain than righties.
Well, the tests show that they're better in math. I mean, that's
okay, but the
say.
Part of the brain. Yeah. So they used to tell us, that they use a different part of the brain. So the latest research, the latest cutting edge research has stated that this is baloney. Lefties and righties use exactly the same part of their head to do everything. Just like limbs of the heart of a lefty is in the same exact location in the anatomy of the body as a righty, the brain, part of the brain that they used to think is exactly in the same location. Why then does a lefty have more power in his left hand? Whatever the reasons are. But there's a disease, a genetic disease, where a person comes out the mirror image of what he should be. In other words, every single part of the body, instead of being being one side, is reversed. It's a mirror image. It's a genetic disease. Dr. Friedman told me, am I saying correctly? And it's very, very rare. And supposedly these people have they die. They can't really live. They can't live very long because the breathing. There are certain things which don't convert well when the body mutates something. Does something bizarre like this? It doesn't work well, and they're very, very sick. These type of people. Someone suggests that's what Chazal mean by a lefty. It means he's a mirror image. He's a full mirror image of not in the anatomy. Okay? And that would basically say there's no such thing like these type of people don't exist really today. Dr. Friedman, please comment.
A condition called sinus inversus, where everything is backwards, and there's a certain condition called dextrocardia, where the heart is on the right side. Some of these hearts in dextrocardia have abnormalities, very severe abnormalities in them, require surgery. That's basically it. Also in the brain is a bridge, it's called the corpus callosum. It runs down the middle of the head where the networks between the left and the right can cross. So, and there are people born without that bridge that have difficulties with left and right, the issue.
They say they have Yashaber Salivation, okay? One of the greatest geniuses who ever lived in our generation, okay? From the greatest of the great. Whenever someone would say to him, I'll make a left or right, he said that himself. I don't know what they're talking about. I have to stop and think. Wait, which side is the left and which side is the right? It's not second nature. Some people, left, it's part of their blood, left, right. You don't have to even think. When they said left, which side is the left again? I have to remember.
Was
this side.
Lefty?
What?
Was he a righty?
I think it was a righty.
It was a righty.
Righty. Of Yashiner Salvation. What is there to say about... What is there to say about... He doesn't need our haskam of Yeshua Salvation, but yet when you say left and right, you got to think, which is the left?
What's the definition of a righty or lefty? If you think about the origin, there's no, it's like, what is a north, south, east, and west? East is where the sun rises, so you have a definition. But writing, there is no definition.
Okay, so that you're saying very good. You're saying something very important. This is a massive, massive topic, and it's correct. Okay, well, let's go forward. Let's go forward. I don't want to get sidetracked. The point over here is the halacha is the mezuzah goes on the right. Okay, how? What is the makar? It's a big topic. There's a shaila in the pesukim, the Shulchan Aruch. Does maybe a lefty should put the mezuzah on the left side? And the answer is if you live alone. There is a svara to say you should put the mezuzah on the left side. It's if you have a family, you have a wife and children, they're righties, so then you go baser roi. Most of the family are righties, so then you put the mezuzah. That's not accepted today. Today the halacha is, no one's going to do that today. Even if you're a full-fledged lefty, you put the mezuzah on the right side, that's the bottom line. But not everyone, not all of the rishonim really agree to that. We don't follow them. We follow the bottom line is you put the mezuzah on the right side. Here's the point I want to make. When it comes to a mezuzah, you have a new element, a new problem. You have to put the mezuzah on the right side. If you put, who decides what is the right side? Is the right side decided by the world? And now you come along, and you, oh, the Welt, the architect, the world, has decided that this is the right, okay? I'm now going to put, now I have a mitzvah to put on the right side. Is there a possibility where you decide what's the right? You could have a situation where, what is right, what is left? Right and left is relative to where you're standing. If I'm facing this way, then the right is on this side. If I'm facing the other direction, the right is on the other side. Is there such a principle in halacha where halacha allows you to decide what is right, what is left, or no? Right and left has already been decided. Right and left they did not decide what is right and left in a simple situation. If you have the front door of your home, there's no one that needs to make that decision. That decision has been made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you come to the front door of your home, you come to the front door of a building, you are not making a decision what's called right, what's called left. Hashem already made that decision for you. When you walk into the door, there's the right and there's the left. That's not, you don't have any power to redefine, like this woke society we live in today, where everyone has to redefine reality. You have no power to decide what's right and left. You have no power to make these decisions. The right is the right, the left is the left. However, there are situations where it's not really clear what's right and what's left. Here is the dilemma. In a situation like the Mirpeset, I have over here a beautiful home, and now there's a balcony. And the balcony leads nowhere but to itself. Okay, there's a doorway. What is the right and what is the left? Here's the question. The dilemma is the right and the left, has it been decided in Shemayim, by the world, by society? I just don't know what it is. And I have now an obligation to put up a mezuzah. And I don't know. I don't know what Hashem has decided, which is the right, which is the left. I know when I come into the front door, I know as a fact that Hashem has told me, this is the right side, that's the left side. Don't redefine reality. I define this is a male, this is a female. Don't redefine reality for me. You come into your home, that's the right, that's the left. Okay, I'm not looking for trouble. You have an obligation now to put the mezuzah on the right side. If you put it on the right side, you yoytzei the mitzvah. You put it on the left side, you're not yoytzei the mitzvah. You made a bracha levatala. The mezuzah is not going to provide shemira. Now here's our dilemma. You have a mirpeset. A mirpeset, where do I put the mezuzah? Well, before you want to know where do you put the mezuzah, what's the right, what's the left? Here is the dilemma. In this situation, do we say, A, the right and the left has been decided, min hashamayim, or by society. You, unfortunately, don't know. You didn't go to grade school in this case. So you don't know what's the right, what's the left. You don't know what the reality is. So you want to cover yourself. How will I cover myself? I'll put a mezuzah on this side and a mezuzah on this side. So just in case in Shemayim or in society that this is considered the right side, I put the mezuzah on the right side. And just in case in society this is the right side, I did it. Oh, but what about the other side? Listen, if in the Shemayim they consider that to be the left, so no harm done. I put a mezuzah over there. It's a kosher mezuzah. It's like sitting in the drawer. It's sitting in the drawer. Or no. Maybe in this given situation, Hashem is saying, you decide what is right and what is left. You have a mirpeset. You have a home. You can look at it in many different ways. I'm giving you, the human being, in this unique situation, the option, the ability. You can decide what you want to be the right and what you want to be the left. You're making a different decision. The first side of the dilemma is I'm putting a mezuzah on both sides because I don't know which one is the right and the left. I don't know, Ben Yamin the small. In this situation, one of them is the right, one is the left. I'm not getting involved in that decision. That decision is not my decision to make, what's called right and what's called left. Someone else, a higher authority, has to make that decision. That higher authority has not informed me what they consider the right, the left, but I'm not getting involved in that decision.
Why are you so different than the
bedroom? What?
Why is that different than the bedroom? What's the marpeset different than the bedroom?
That is the marpeset. We're talking about the marpeset. I'm talking about the marpeset. My bedroom? Because the bedroom is decided. That's clearly decided when you go into your bedroom. The right, there's the outer room and it's the chedrei chadorim. You go within an inner chamber, there's nothing to discuss. It's clear as day, this is the right, that's the left.
So when you go out to your mirpeset, it's different?
Right? Yes, that's the discussion. You go to a mirpeset. A mirpeset is in a unique reality where it's outdoors, there is no roof, it's not part of your home, it's completely outside. But yeah, and it doesn't lead anywhere. This is a unique halachic dilemma that we started with yesterday. That's a unique situation. So here is the dilemma one more time. Is it, there is a right, there is a left, I don't know what it is, I put up two mezuzahs. Or here's the other side. No. In this unique situation, you have the ability to decide, you can decide what you want to be the right, what you want to be the left. But your decision has to be acceptable in society. You know, bot ladaita yitzel koladam. Society cannot make up their minds which side they want to make the right and which side they want to make the left. No one can come to closure on this inyan. But we're making a decision. We're making a much more fundamental decision. We're deciding what is called right and what is called left. Now here's the problem. If the decision becomes a more fundamental decision, it comes out now, you may not be yotzei the mitzvah altogether. If you put up two mezuzahs, putting up the mezuzah is not just, I don't know which one is the right, which one is the left. But there is a right, there is a left. I don't know, I can't make up my mind which one we're gonna make the right, which one you're gonna make the left. The fact that there's a mezuzah on each side is destroying the right of the other side. Which means the mezuzah is hanging in the air. The mezuzah has to go on the right side. So is this the right side? Yeah, it's the right side. Then why is there a mezuzah on the other side? Oh, because that mezuzah indicates is a statement that this is the right side. Oh, that's the right side. Oh, so that means the mezuzah over here is the left side. So why is there a mezuzah? No, this is my decision that this is the right side. If this is the right side, so this is not the right side. Exactly, it's tired of the sasre, which basically means you're not yoytz with either or mezuzah.
No, it's like
you're ruining it. You're outsmarting yourself. You're outsmarting yourself. That's the dilemma. Is how do you look at this situation? Do we look at this situation? There definitely is one right and there is one left. And that is not our decision to make. That decision, that what we do not know, is something that is beyond our knowledge. We, to cover ourselves, we put up two mezuzahs, just in case it turns out we get the information that this is the right, Baruch Hashem, the mezuzah on the right side. Just in case we discover that this is the right side, oh, there's a mezuzah on the right side. What about the other one? Well, the other one is like a mezuzah in a drawer. It's sitting in the drawer. But if, no, no one's making this decision. You have been empowered in situations like this of a mirpeset, where there's no clarity in what's called right, what's called left. Here, halacha allows you to define reality. So by you putting a mezuzah on one side, you're really doing two things. Number one, I am hereby defining the world of reality. This is the right side. And now that this is the right side, the mezuzah goes right here. Okay, very nice, very nice. So put up the mezuzah on one side, define your reality, and live with it. No, I have another reality, an alternate reality. I'm defining this to be the right side. And if this is the right side, the mezuzah has to go over here. By defining two realities, you've destroyed reality. There is no right side altogether here. There's no right side, so you have two mezuzahs sitting in the drawer. So this type of situation has an element, not just about Tosef. There's something even more fundamentally corrupt in this situation. And that is, you don't even have a right side altogether. So you go to the case of the Merpeset, there are really three areas that have to be discussed. We don't know what the halacha is, because we really don't know what is called derech bi'osk. So what is the solution? The solution is either put up one mezuzah. You decide. Pick a side. Go and just make a decision what you want to be called the right side. The bill. What about, okay, that's one solution. What about the machmir putting up another mezuzah? Well, you got to be careful. There is a valid approach to saying, yeah, put up a second mezuzah, two mezuzahs. But you have to realize, putting up, some place can say, putting up a second mezuzah, some place can say, no, that's called Baal Tosef. Why do they view that as Baal Tosef? It's like, why is that different than wearing two pairs of tefillin? Some do hold that putting up a mezuzah on the left and the right is like wearing Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam at the same side. Why? Because by putting up a mezuzah on the left post, in essence, you're saying there's a mitzvah de'oraisa to put up a mezuzah on the left side. There's no such mitzvah. There's no such mitzvah. If you're going to have two mezuzahs, that means one is the right, one is the left. Don't confuse me which one's the right, which one is the left. One is the right, one is the left. Oh, that means, you want to have them both at the same time? That's like wearing Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam at the same time. One is kosher, one is pasul. There is no mitzvah d'oraisa to put up a mezuzah on the left side. If you are putting up a mezuzah on both sides, in essence you're saying there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to put up a mezuzah on the right side, and there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to put up a mezuzah on the left side.
You're not mixing up right and left, you're mixing up which way is the way in.
It's the same idea. Just synonyms. Right, so derech biyoscha, it's the same idea. So that's one approach. The other approach is, so therefore some will object to putting up two mezuzahs by saying, by putting up two mezuzahs, you're being oiver al Baal Tosef. Others say, no, there's nothing wrong with putting up two mezuzahs. It's perfectly fine. There's no Baal Tosef. You're not having kavana that you should have two mezuzahs. You're being a tanai. Forget about the bracha. It's still about, even without a bracha, it's Baal Tosef. You're not having a kavan, you're making a tanai. It's like a tanai. I only want there to be one mezuzah on the right side. The other side is just like a piece of leather. A piece of leather hanging on the door. It's just some paint. It's some thick cement on the door. It's nothing. I don't know which is the right side. There's a right side, there's a left side. I don't know which one is the right side, so I only want there to be one mezuzah on the right side. The other one should just be, you know, an appendage. It's perfectly fine. Others say you don't put up two mezuzahs, but for a different reason. Not because you're going to be over on Baal Tosef. You're not going to be over on Baal Tosef. You're not going to even be Mekayim the mitzvah, period. Because if you're putting up two mezuzahs, in essence, you don't have a right side. You've redefined reality. Because putting up a mezuzah in this situation is not just a statement, I don't know what's the right side. You, by putting up a mezuzah, you are creating a right side. So by putting up a mezuzah on both sides, each side is creating a right side which destroys the other side.
That's only if you put them at the same time. If I put up mezuzah on the right side, whatever the...
No, by whenever you put up the mezuzah...
If I put a mezuzah on one side, because there's always a shito, we say that's the right side. And then...
That's the issue that we're discussing.
3 days later, I decide to put a mezuzah on the other side.
So you've now made a new reality.
I've not changed reality, because the right side is still there.
No, no, so it's not to call the right side anymore. That's the dilemma. The dilemma is, does man have the power...
To define
biyosa. I'll give you an example of this principle. You go to shul. Okay, I once saw this. There's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah. There's a steer in the Mishnah. I told this to my uncle. He didn't like this, but I'll tell it to you anyway. You go to shul, there's a steer in the Mishnah. The Mishnah Berurah in one place says, you go to shul, the Aron Kodesh is not facing Mizrach. It's not facing Mizrach. So what do you do? So the Mishnah Berurah in one place says, it doesn't matter. If the Aron Kodesh, whatever the Aron Kodesh is facing, that's where you face when you daven. And another Mishnah Berurah says, another sect, is that if the Aron is not facing Mizrach, when you daven Shmona Esrei, you should not face the Aron Kodesh. You should face the real Mizrach. It's not much a stira in the Mishnah Berurah. Someone answered, different ways to answer the stira. I once told my uncle this idea. I said, when you make a shul, L'chatchilo, you should make sure that the Aron Kodesh is facing the Mizrach. But there are certain situations that's not possible. And when that happens, you're creating a virtual Mizrach in the shul. In this shul, don't confuse me what's going on outside in the world. In this particular shul, don't take out your comments. When you make the shul, it's your duty to make sure that the Aron Kodesh faces, take out the compass, should face Mizrach. But sometimes that's not possible for different reasons. And you have no choice but to put the Aron HaKodesh and the furniture in the shul facing a certain direction. In those type of situations, you fall into plan B. And plan B is, in these Dalet Amos, this is the Mizrach. This is Mizrach. Oh, but the compass says, don't confuse me with the facts. We're living here in a virtual reality. This is the Mizrach. L'may nafkamina. Chanukah menorah. Where do you put the Chanukah menorah? You put the Chanukah menorah, it says Shulchan Aruch, explicitly on the Doraim side. Why the Doraim? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, that's where the menorah was. It was on the Doraim. The Chanukah menorah was on the south. So that's where you put the menorah. Zecher l'Mikdash. Okay. I'm in shul now. My shul, the menorah, does not face Mizrach. The shulchan, the amud, and the aron is not Mizrach. So does that mean when it comes Chanukah time, and it says in Shulchan Aruch that in the Beis HaKnesses, the mokoyim of the Chanukah menorah is on the doroyim, does that mean take out the compass? Take out the compass, and wherever the doroyim is in the veil, that's where the menorah is going to go? Or no? You are now in a virtual reality. If the shul had to be constructed in such a way where the Aron is in the front, that is called in this shul Mizrach. If that's Mizrach, where is Doron? This side is Doron. Don't confuse me with the facts. Kabbalah Shabbos. Bo'i chala, bo'i chala. You bow down. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, what do you bow down to? The West. You're supposed to bow to the West. Because the Shekhinah is B'marav. Shabbos is also Shabbos is entering with Tzeis HaKachav, the sun this goes down below the horizon. You turn around and say Kabbalah Shabbos, then you turn around to the Maariv. Let's say in Yobei Sakneses, the Oroin is not the Mizrach. So which direction do you face for Boi V'Sholem? The real Maariv or the virtual Maariv? Okay, so I can't tell you this is right. I told this is very Bitam L'Chacham. He didn't like this idea, but I don't think he really was taking me seriously, listening to all my riots. I really believe with my full heart that there's something in a shul called a virtual reality of direction.
Why do you say the Shechina is in the Ma'arav?
That's Kabbalah Nyanim. I don't know. It's Kabbalah Nyanim. I have no idea. Kabbalah Nyanim. Kabbalah, you're supposed to do Kabbalah Shabbos, Boi V'Shom to the Maariv. If you go to a shul and the Aron is not facing Mizrach, where do you turn for Boi V'Sholem? Do you follow the real Maariv? When you figure out where Maariv is, even though you're not. Or you go and you have a virtual. This is where the Aron is. This is the Mizrach. This is the Doron. That's the Maariv. That's the Tzafon. That's the way it is in these Dalet Amos. There's a virtual Maariv. I believe that what I'm saying is correct. I'm sure, I have no doubt that people will tell me, will thoroughly disagree with me, but I think we'll go through the sugya, you'll see that this is correct, that there's such a principle in Beis HaKnesses of creating a virtual direction. L'may nafkemina, the mirpeset. Do you have the koyach to create reality? Yamin and small is really no different than Mizrach and Maariv. If there is such a principle in Halacha, in the Beis HaKnesses, that you can define what is called Mizrach, what is Maariv, Dardim and Dardim, Halacha, where do you put the menorah? A bris mila. There's a whole Shulchan Aruch exactly where you're supposed to sit. The moyel, where the baby is to be positioned by a bris mila. Where does the Rav sit? There's a whole sugya. Where does the Rav sit? Do all of these things, are they redefined? And they use Mizrach Maariv, all of these did bris mila where the Rav sits. Do we redefine those words relative to where the Aron is? Or no. We have to go take out the compass and go look at the reality. To me, it doesn't make sense to say that the Beis HaKnesses, we're going to follow the Mizrach Maariv of the world. You follow the Mizrach Maariv when you make the shul, when you make the Tzuras HaBeis HaKnesses. If you're not able to do that, nope, good for you. You've created a new reality, which is permitted, which at times is necessary when you don't have a choice. The dilemma is, how far does that go when it comes to a mezuzah? If you have the ability, by putting the mezuzah, you're making two decisions. Number one, this is Yamin. Memela, that's where the mezuzah goes. If you put another mezuzah on the other wall, you've now, this is the Yamin. Oh, if this is the Yamin, that's not the Yamin. If this is the Yamin, that's not the Yamin. Putting up two mezuzahs, it's not about Tosif. You're not Yotze, period. You've destroyed the door. You've destroyed reality. There is no right, there is no left. If you learn that, no, there is a Yamin, there is a small, you just don't know what it is because you can't figure it out. But there is a Yamin and a small. So put up two mezuzahs. So some say, that's Baltoisev. Oh, because you're giving legitimacy to the left. And some will say, it's not Baltoisev. That both of the mezuzahs are kosher mezuzahs. One mezuzah is sitting in the box. Okay, so this is the dilemma. We're getting into heavy-duty stuff. Whoever thought a mirpeset would be such such an issue?
Abraham Avinu said to
Lord, "Can I make it? Can I make it? Yes."
What is he talking about?
Create reality. To create reality. Okay, we'll stop here, but so say Kaddish. Say Kaddish. Say Kaddish. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Shmei Rabba.